All right, as I pointed out last week, at the end of class week before, several questions came up about what we discussed in chapter 20. And as I was getting ready to approach those questions last week, another question was thrown at me, and I spent the whole class probably longer than I needed to answer the question. But you know how it is sometimes when you get on a roll, you just can't shut up, and that's my problem sometimes. We're in a section of Scripture now, chapters 20, 21, 22. A section of Scripture which will be much debatable. It's debatable because of all the different things that have been taught on this passage of Scripture. As we approach this passage of Scripture, keep in mind your memory verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. Revelation 1:1, 1:3. Revelation 22:6, and Revelation 22:10. And with 22:10, remember Daniel chapter 8, especially verse 26. Because these are the things that's going to help guide us. If Peter is correct in his understanding and in his teaching that no scripture, no prophecy of scripture is a private interpretation, then we must accept that fact. And if we are to understand scripture, we have to look at the Bible to understand scripture. The Bible will interpret itself. So we need to understand that. If we are to accept what John has to say, that these are the things that must shortly come to pass, for the time is at hand, then we must understand that whatever John was writing about during the time of Revelation was something that is about to come at hand. The time was there. As we look at these last three passages of Scripture, keep in mind, we are in a vision. We will see a picture and we will ask ourselves, what is the truth? Biblical principle is always true in Scripture. Whether a Scripture is literal or whether the Scripture is to be of a vision in prophetic speech, principle is true. But in a vision, not everything is to be literally understood. And for the most part, it is not to be literally understood. Case in point, Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 and following talk about, and we've talked about this passage of Scripture, the six men of slaughter and the man with an inkhorn by his side. The man with the inkhorn by his side is told to go and to put a mark on the foreheads of everyone who is faithful, who is obedient to God. And then once this is done, the six men of slaughter are released and they slaughter everyone who does not have the mark that the scribe put upon the forehead of the righteous. And they are not to touch those who have the mark on their forehead. In the vision, none of the righteous die. Only the ungodly die. But when you get to Ezekiel 21 and verse 3, you will see the righteous and the ungodly die. In the vision, they don't. Literally, they do. There's a picture in the vision. What's the picture? That God protects the godly. But in true life, the righteous and the ungodly did die. Doesn't mean that the vision was wrong. The vision paints a picture. We ask ourselves, what is the truth? So keep that in mind. Keep in mind, too, that not everything in a vision is to be historically correct. Isaiah 13 where it talks about the judgment that has come upon Babylon. The world is destroyed according to the vision, and the land will never be inhabited again. That's the vision. But it's not historically correct because people live there today. You see a picture in the vision. What is the picture? Babylon will be destroyed and will never rise again. This is all through the Bible. The problem that we have is that in the Old Testament, we understand this. But when we get into the New Testament, we start debating this. We start making figurative things literal. So keep this in mind as we discuss the book of Revelation, especially these last three chapters. Chapter 20, we're going to put it all in one picture. So some of you who were here a couple weeks ago, we're going to cover ground that we had covered before. Those of you that weren't, you're going to get it fresh, but we're going to paint the whole picture before this class is over. And if I run into Kurt's time, then he's going to run into your time, okay? So here we go. Chapter 20, beginning verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be finished. After this, he must be loosed for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, and for the word of God, and such as worship not the beast, neither his image, and receive not the mark upon their forehead, and upon their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead live, not until 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part of this first resurrection. Over these, the second death, have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall come forth, notice, to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth and of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, which are also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, or unto the ages of the ages. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead, sea gave up the dead that was in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to the works, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. So here is Revelation 20. Point one on your study guide, the angel with the key to the abyss and the great chain. We see an angel coming down out of the heaven. He has a key to the abyss. Now in chapter 9 of Revelation, it is the devil who has the key to the abyss. But now we see an angel has a key to the abyss. He grabs Satan, he bounds him with the chains, throws him into the pit, seals it for 1,000 years. We're not talking about time here. The 1,000 years is not to be taken as a time, as a period of time. It is to be taken as complete and utter defeat of Satan in his use of Rome in persecuting the church. Remember, the scope of the book of Revelation is Rome persecuting the church under the reign of Domitian. Satan is seen to be bound for 1,000 years. This, in other words, he is defeated in his use of Rome. The 1,000 years speaks of totality. Remember, the number 10 in prophetic speech speaks of completeness. To multiply it by 100 to make it 1,000 shows complete totality. Irrevocable. He is bound never to use Rome again. 1,000, oftentimes in the Bible, speaks of completeness. Psalms 50 and verse 10, God has cattle on 1,000 hills. I've asked the question, what about hill 1,001? Okay. Psalm 105 and verse 8, he is faithful to his covenant for 1,000 generations. What about generation 1,001? So you can see you do not take this literally. But you see what the number means in prophetic speech. And it speaks of totality. It is not the Christian age. Some teach that this 1,000 years is the Christian age. It is not the Christian age. It is not a period of time for Jesus' coming. And it's not a period of time in which that the gospel flourishes after the defeat of Rome. It just simply speaks of the defeat of Satan. So there's verses 1 through 3. There's your picture. Satan is defeated. No longer able to use Rome as a tool to persecute the church. Verses 4 through 6, we see the saints. Saints are sitting on the thrones. To whom, notice, judgment is given. Jesus promised the faithful in Revelation 2, 26 and 27, and Revelation 3, 21, that if they remained faithful, then they would share with him in ruling of the nations. So we see Jesus' promise being fulfilled. But turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, we have the vision of the four-night beast. We have a lion, a bear, a leopard, and an undescribable beast. If you remember in Daniel chapter 13, Daniel saw a beast, the sea beast that came up, that was an undescribable beast that had the parts of a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 is looking forward to this time. John at this time is looking back, seeing the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 7. But if you'll notice in beginning in verse 15, for time's sake, we won't read. Daniel wants to know about the four beasts. In verse 17, the beasts are also four kings. And then we get into the fourth beast. He desires in verse 19 to know the fourth beast. Verse 21. And I beheld the same horn, talking about the little horn. You remember the beast had 10 horns, then an 11th horn popped up. He uproots 3 and makes himself the 8th. And the same horn, notice, made war with the saints, talking about the little horn, the 11th horn that become the 8th. In the vision of Revelation, John saw a 7-headed beast and it became an 8-head beast. The number 8 is important. And he made war with the saints until the angel of the days, verse 22, came, and judgment was given to who? The saints. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth. Verse 26, but the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion and consume it to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms of the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Daniel is looking to a time in which this fulfillment would be done in the defeat of Satan's use of Rome and persecuting of the church. Now back to Revelation 20. In Revelation 20, they sit on judgment. On judgment upon who? Upon the harlot, upon the prostitute. Rome and her civil power, Revelation 18 and verse 20. And also, if you remember, in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 and following, at the sound of the last trumpet, a great shout went up. And you remember, the seventh trumpet held the seven bowls of wrath. At the seventh sounding of the seventh trumpet, all the bowls of wrath are poured out upon the ungodly. And this is the reason why we have the great shout come up. So we see that saints living on the throne. What about those who had died? Notice too, 4b, the last part of 4. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and the word of God and did not worship the beast. And they, notice the last part, lived and reigned with Christ. So not only those who make it through the persecution live, but those who have died in the persecution are seen as living again and reigning with Christ. The second death of verse 6 speaks of the defeat of the ungodly, those who aligned themselves with Rome. Those who serve the dragon are cast down, notice, in the lake of fire. And you will notice not only are they cast in the lake of fire, the sea beast, the earth beast, death, and Hades also are put in the lake of fire. Picture a battlefield. Dead on both sides. Those who are fought in the army of Christ, they arise and they live again. Those who do not, they are cast into the lake of fire. John sees a battlefield. He sees two resurrections. But the Bible, keep this in mind, the Bible does not teach two resurrections. John chapter 5, 28 and 29. Jesus said, and I will paraphrase it. He says, marvel not at these things, for the hour will come. When, notice, all who are in the tomb shall come forth at the sound of my voice. What's the result of this resurrection? One group will be resurrected into the resurrection of life. The others will be resurrected into the resurrection of judgment. One resurrection, two results. And that's pretty simple. John speaks of two resurrections simply because he sees two resurrections. But he's not teaching doctrine here. He is teaching truth, that God takes care of his people. No matter what the chaotic time is that they lived in. So there's the picture of the saints. 1 through 3, Satan is bound, tossed in a pit for 1,000 years, be loosed in a little while. The picture 4 through 6, we have the saints victorious over the oppressor. Point 3 on your study guide, 7 through 10, Satan is loose again. This is not literal either. What period is this 1,000 years if it's literal? We have to ask that question. It cannot be end times either, for you notice he is loose to do what? Look at your text. To deceive the nations. To come forth and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. If this is final times, what period of time is this? Colossians 2:15, Hebrews 2:14, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. All these passages tell us that Satan was bound at the cross. Was Satan bound at the cross? He wasn't. He was. Okay. Satan was bound at the cross. What I do with 1 Peter 5:8? Where he walks around like a roaring lion, devouring who he is. He was defeated. He was bound, yes. But he's still able to go out and deceive. We see the same principle here. The point here that we're seeing that in his use of Rome, Satan is defeated. He will no longer use Rome as a persecutor of the church. He will try again. He will try with somebody else. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, we have the temptation of Jesus. 40 days he is tempted. And then Satan comes in. And then he throws the three temptations at him that we're all familiar with. And then notice verse 13, he departs for a season. In other words, he's defeated at this point. But he comes back, he's going to try and try again. Same thing is here. Satan is defeated in his use of Rome. But he's going to come out after the 1,000 years, which is not time. It's not a when. It is just a number to show the defeat of Satan in his use of Rome. Now he's got two more hosts that he's going to use. Gog and Magog. These are no one in particular. These are anyone or any nation or anything that Satan will use to help defeat the purpose of God. Ezekiel 38 and 39 will help us in this passage of Scripture. To get an understanding of what's going on in Ezekiel, let me give you a quick survey. Ezekiel's chapter 1 through 24, Jerusalem must be punished. Chapter 25 through 32, foreign nations must be punished. Chapters 34 and 36, Jerusalem must be comforted. How is this possible? How will this happen? Chapters 38 and 39 brings out this point. God is going to raise up an army against his people that is so big that it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. It's amazing how people try to put a number on this dead, how many people it would take. Anywhere from 400 to 800 million people is the estimate on a number that God is just using to prove a point. Here, the mention of Gog and Magog in Revelation, it just simply tells us that Satan cannot raise an army big enough to defeat the purpose of God. Any army that Satan will bring against the people of God will be defeated. In verse 10 of chapter 20, Satan is judged forever. The Greek literally says, unto the ages of the ages. The lake of fire in the book of Revelation is a symbol of defeat. The lake of fire stands for Satan and all that are with him are defeated. The saints are raised to rule Satan, Rome, and those that would serve them are sent to the lake of fire. In the book of Revelation, this is an important point too. In the book of Revelation, fire is used as judgment, and it's always coming out of heaven. If you'll notice in verse 9, the armies are against the people of God, and fire came out of heaven. Other passages of Scripture, we have seen that fire is mingled with the glassy sea around the throne. Fire is in heaven. I want you to look at chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. Everybody turn there. Chapter 14 in the book of Revelation. We'll just do verse 10. This is talking about the ungodly. He shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared and unmixed in a cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, notice, and in the presence of the Lamb. This fiery judgment is always seen in the presence of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Everybody see that? Turn, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Hold your finger in Revelation 20. 2 Thessalonians. We know that the Thessalonian letter deals with end times, the final coming of Christ. Context tells us so. To pick up in verse 7. And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance, verse 8, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Notice verse 9. Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Notice Paul says at the end of time, when Jesus comes again, there will be those who will be destroyed because they did not obey and did not believe the gospel. But this destruction is from the presence of the Lord. Whereas in the book of Revelation, the destruction is in the presence of the Lord. So that should help you too as you discuss chapter 20 with others. All right, we've got 15 minutes. The judgment scene. This is point 4 on your study guide. Now notice the picture. 1 through 3, Satan defeated in his use of Rome. 4 through 6, the saints reigned with Jesus Christ. 7 through 10, Satan is seen as a loser again, defeated in his use of Gog and Magog, who is, as I said, no one in particular. The judgment scene is to be taken literally by just about everybody, and yet we're not to. It is a vision, the picture of the followers of Satan, so we are not taking this literally, but everybody does. Verse 11, we have a great white throne, and he that sat on it. Who is this? Revelation 4, 1 through 6, and verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 6, 1, Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. This is God the Father. This is who sits upon, that's 26 and 28 in Ezekiel, my bad. In verse 11 and 20, so he's sitting on a great white throne. Notice, heaven and earth flee. That's important. Remember that. Heaven and earth flee from his presence. Passages like Revelation 6:14, Revelation 16:20, Isaiah 34:5, Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 13, Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 through 26, Nahum chapter 1, verse 5, and other passages show that when God's judgment comes upon an ungodly, it is often described as the end of the world. Heavens melt or dissolve. Sun, moon, stars do not give off their light. Mountains melt. Land becomes lakes of fire, and so forth and so on. These passages that I've mentioned record God's judgment upon the ungodly, described as the end of the world, not to be taken literally. Verse 12 of chapter 20, thrones, books, and the book of life. Turn it back, if you will, to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. Here we are at the time of the little horn. In the previous verses, the 10 horns, the 11th horn, the plucking up. The eyes were like the eyes of man, and the mouth spoke great things, deifying himself in verse 8. Verse 9, at the time of the little horn, I beheld till the thrones were placed, and one that was the Ancient of Days did sit. His raiment was white as snow, and his head, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof burning fire. A fiery string issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld at that time, because of the voice of the great words which, notice, the horn spake, I beheld even the beast was slain and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. Notice a similar description on the fourth beast in the book of Daniel is a similar description that we see in Revelation chapter 20. In verse 13 of Revelation 20, notice two. The sea gave up their dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Verse 14, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Death and Hades are personified in the book of Revelation. They are seen as enemy of God and of his people in the book of Revelation. Notice again, verse 14 speaks of a second death. This is with reference to those who died in the Roman conflict upon Rome's side. Those in the lake of fire, notice, the sea beast, the earth beast, dragon, the dragon, death, Hades, and all that followed them. All of these whose names were not in the book of life. The intent of the picture of chapter 20 is to see the defeat of Satan in his use of Rome. That's the intent. That's the picture. That's why we gave it all to you at one time, so there will be no confusion. The binding of Satan shows his defeat. The saints reigning on the throne shows Satan's defeat. The loosening to be cast in the lake of fire shows his coming defeat in anyone and anything that he uses to defeat the purpose of God. All of his followers cast into the lake of fire shows the defeat of Satan. That's the purpose of chapter 20. It paints a picture, and we ask ourselves, what is the truth? Questions? Yes, sir.
Is there anything in Revelation that pertains to today's times?
The principle. There will be a principle. Just like through all scriptures, there's a principle that does abide. Biblical principle is timeless. But in the book of Revelation, it deals with the things which must shortly come to pass, and the time is at hand. It deals with the upcoming persecution that was to begin under Domitian that would last some two and a half centuries. But the principle there is timeless. God takes care of his people. Those who follow Satan will be defeated. Anybody else? That went better than I thought it would. Okay. I don't have time to start this. So what we're going to do, I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to give you the rest of the morning off, okay, until Kirk steps up. If there's no other questions, keep in mind. Now, next week, we're going to begin chapter 21 through 22. We're going to begin the class in discussing the new expressions in the Bible. Remember, I've told you this time a couple of times in this thing, that there is an understanding of the new expressions that will help us understand the concept of the new heaven and earth, okay? And just for a little bit of a hint, remember verse 11 of chapter 20, heaven and earth fled away from the face, okay? All right, that's all we have. God bless you.